makes me feel better. Thank you. It's good to see y'all tonight. I do appreciate it. And
maybe not apologize necessarily, because I said kind of what I meant, I guess. But I know I kind of got a little soapbox this morning, and probably a little of a personal frustration coming out. So I do apologize for that part. Normally not who I am. But as Brother Keevan says, you know, I know that y'all look to me as your fearless leader, and I'm not fearless all the time. Believe me, I'm like the lion on Wizard of Oz before he got his courage. every time my own tail scares me, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not always fearless. I know Barbara paid me a high compliment last week. Made me feel really good with what she said, and that, I won't share it. That was kind of something personal, but it made me feel good. But I just want you to know that me and Melanie battle things too, and we have a family we're raising, and we have kid problems, and we have marriage problems sometimes, and we have money problems, and you know, we have issues we're battling too. And so sometimes that gets to me, and you know, but I know this morning I might sound a little aggressive. I didn't mean to sound aggressive. I was just kind of being honest, just sharing from my heart. That's who I am. So anyway, I do love the flock, and I love the church, and I want the church to grow, and I want to go forward. I told Mom this afternoon, I feel like sometimes, I've been pastoring 12 years now, and God's been good to us. I mean, a lot of churches wouldn't have made it off the ground. I understand that. God's been very good to us. We built a building, paid off the church, paid off the land. I mean, God's blessed us. But it's like we get to a certain point of being full, and then people start leaving, and we're rebuilding. Full, they leave, we have to rebuild. And the rebuilding process can get very tiring. You know, I want to stop rebuilding and just keep building and keep growing and moving forward. And I need all your help, like Kevin said, to do that. I need the body to be here and to be present and to be excited and to be alive and to be a witness. I went to rinse my car with the car wash a couple of days ago, and I had some of those you're invited cards, and I went and stuck one on each of the coin machines for the vacuum part. Stuck it right there. So people pull up, they'll have to see it because they got to move it to put the quarter in. So they'll have to see the card. Now, they may just throw it out or throw it in the trash, but I put four or five of those cards up, something that simple. And I made a bunch of those up and put on the table, and all you have to do is just, I left one for my waitress today. We went to lunch, and with my good tip, my tip you're supposed to do, don't invite someone to this church if you're not going to tip them. That's embarrassing, okay? If you're going to leave a church card representing me and the church, tip them at least 15 to 20% like you're supposed to. Don't leave a dollar and then leave a card. Come see us. Are you kidding? Cheapskate, I ain't coming to see you. Leave it right. They work hard, and my belly was very filled, and the yeast rolls were awesome today. It was not going where I went to, but I did have yeast rolls, and they were awesome. And they work hard for us to serve our food and to provide for their families. But I left a card on the table today at Logan's at the table, and I put the waitress's name on there. I says, I hope to see you, Summer, and I actually put her name on the card. Simple things like that are ways, very uninvasive ways, that we can just sow a seed or plant something. So, four of y'all, I appreciate that. Our family's getting smaller. That should get better. You know, Christian's off at college. Jamie works a lot on Sunday. So, a lot of times, it's just me and Melanie and Ashley now. And a lot of times, we get rid of Ashley with somebody. So, we're down to me and Melanie. So, we got River today, actually. She went to Logan and sat another table. It was great. I still had to pay for a meal, though, but she sat at a table. Turn to Psalms 42. God is faithful. God is faithful. We're going to talk about Psalms 42. This is a very interesting chapter, and I just think it's good because it relates, I think, to how a lot of us feel on any given day, really, Psalms 42. Let me set you up what's happening here. David's son, Absalom, was a bad son, and he rebelled against his father and was trying to steal the throne from David. And he actually got the backing of the people of Israel and got the majority to back him. And so they were going to overthrow David and take over the city. And so David had to flee. David fled the city away from Jerusalem. And he's writing this in that kind of state. 42 verse 1. As the hart, or that means deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. See, David was on the run. He missed the house of worship. He missed the tabernacle. He knew he was out on the run and outside the walls, and he longed for that fellowship again and that presence of God. Now, understand the difference in the old and the new, something we have a great advantage of today. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. They didn't have that before the Holy Spirit came. Their presence of God was in the Ark of the Covenant, in a natural tabernacle built with man, reading of the law and the Old Covenant. They didn't have the personal, intimate feeling of the Holy Spirit like we have today. The Holy Spirit would come upon man, but it hadn't come to live inside of man. See, we have the Holy Spirit living in us, which means everywhere we go, we are the church. We truly are the tabernacle not made with hands. We are the temple of God everywhere that we travel. And the Holy Spirit lives in us. So whether you're in the woods in a tent, you can talk to God and really feel God, I mean. Whether we're in a big cathedral worshiping God in revival, we can feel God. You're in your car listening to a song and God moves upon you and tears begin to flow and you lift both hands in the air. Just do one, please. As you're praising God, you can feel that presence of God. Feel your car or feel your room or feel that moment. As Melanie was singing, it's, you know, as God began just to feel her with that presence as she's singing. Because, see, we have the Holy Spirit in us, so we have a continual flowing of fellowship with God. That's a beautiful thing. And that's what the Holy Spirit's purpose truly was for, was to teach us, to guide us, to lead us, to strengthen us, to help us. It is enough to combat every enemy that comes against our lives if we'll operate in the Holy Spirit. If we'll let the Holy Spirit have its way, we will be able to combat every temptation, every trial, and every storm, and we will endure it and get through it and have victory. Because it's not us fighting. See, our strength's not in us. Our strength's in the power of God. That's where our real strength lies. When we try to operate in our own abilities and our own strength, that's why we fail over and over and over. That's why we're stressed. And I'm preaching to the choir here, pointing by myself. That's why we're stressed over and over. That's why we're discouraged over and over. That's why we're afraid over and over. Because we are trying to do it in our own strength. But when we let go of our strength, as Paul says, when we become weak, then we are strong. When we become weak, church, we become so broken and desolate and recognize, apart from God, I have no strength. Apart from God, I have no power. Apart from God, I have no revelation. Apart from God, I have no wisdom. But through God and in God, I have all of those things. Then we become strong and our strength begins to go in front of us and fight for us and clear our path and make our paths that were crooked, make them straight again, because we're letting God's strength do the work. It's time we do that again and lean on the strength and the arm of God. The Bible says, whence cometh from my help? Whence cometh my help? I look into the hills. What Dave was saying is, where's my help going to come from? God, I'm looking to you. I need you because I need help and I can't find it in myself. David had to be a very tormented and lonely man through much of his life. He always had people trying to attack him, always had enemies coming after him. He got caught, as we know, in a lot of personal integrity issues, but yet God loved him, God was faithful to him, and David had a heart for God. He kept crying out over and over throughout all the Psalms about, God, I know that, you know, you're God. I know that I am wrong. The Bible says he had a heart after God because he always knew that God, he had to repent and stay in that state of repentance, knowing that he was outside of God nothing. If we could realize that again, we have no power. We think we're tough. We think we're strong. But man, when a storm hits, we find out pretty quick how not strong and not how tough that we are. You know, when we face death or tragedy, and many of you have been through so many storms. I mean, many of you have, you know, you've lost children, you've lost spouses, you've you know, maybe lost all your money at one point in your life. You've lost a lot of quality years because of rebellion and sin, and you've been through some stuff. You've seen some things. And through all of those storms, and through all of those tragedies, through all of those misfortunes, God was faithful. God was constant. God was the one thing you could always dial up and he would answer. God was the one phone number that never got deleted. God was the one source that always you could tap into, and he always came through. God was always the one voice that always said, yes, I'm here. Yes, I will help you. No, I've not forsaken you, and no, I've not left you. Yes, I will heal you. Yes, I will deliver you. Yes, I will comfort you. Yes, I will deliver you. Whatever. God says that. He never turns a deaf ear to us like man does, because God's faithful. Whether we're faithful or not, God's faithful to us. God, like that song says, how many times must I put a hedge around you before you know how much I love you? See, every day our kids go forth, no matter what they do or what they don't do. If we put them in God's hands, God's got a hedge about them. And God's got his hand upon them. And we got to trust that and believe that and rest in that. When we go on our jobs from our husbands and wives all day long, we're traveling and we're gone. It's, you know, Don travels all over the country and has gone many miles and away from Barbara. And I know Barbara likes that, but she wants them home safe. God's hand is watching Don through all those miles, protecting him from all those wrecks, all those potential accidents, all those pitfalls. How many times must God surround us before we realize? How many days must we wake up knowing I'm alive and well? How many times do we come home at 5 o'clock in one piece walking through our front door? God, you brought me home again. You woke me up. You kept me safe. You brought me home. You put me to bed, and you did it all over again the very next day. God, you woke me up, and you put breath in my body. I can still raise my hands. I can think with my mind. I can use my feet. I can see with my eyes. I can hear with my ears. I got a voice that speaks. I've got a tongue that can lash out and tell the good news of the gospel. This is what God does. How many times do we have to see that before we begin to realize and thank him for who he is and count our blessings and not our what we think are cursings and all the negative stuff? But we let the devil's voice come in. And here is David. He's on the run. He's running away from his home and his kingship and all that he knew. And he starts out saying, God, I need you. I'm longing for you. I'm thirsty for you. I need a touch, God. I'm on the run. I'm running away. Will you be there to help me? And let's see what he goes on to say. Verse 2. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. My hope is in God, and yet I will praise him. We don't praise God for what he's done. We praise God for who he is. And our daily situation shouldn't determine whether we praise God or not. We praise God faithfully because we are his children. He is our king. He has saved us from hell. We have everlasting life. And no problem we encounter today can change what God did 2,000 years ago. Nothing that happens tomorrow will change that God's still king and that God is still risen and that God is still Lord. So yet will I praise him, and yet will I let my voice be heard that Jesus is still Lord. I may have a bad day, but he's still Lord. I'm going through a storm, but he's Lord in the storm. I'm going through a tribulation, but thank God, never tribulation. He's still God. I'm going through things I can't see and don't know and don't understand, but I do know this, that God is faithful, and he's walking step and step and step with me. He's shadowing me everywhere that I go. I can't outrun him. I can't outsin him. I can't outhate him. I cannot reject him. His love is constant in my life, and it follows me all of my days. Surely I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, the psalmist says. That's who we serve. God's faithful. And that's why we serve him. And that's why we can praise him, even on the bad days. Even when it's raining, we can praise him for the rain. For if it wasn't for the rain, we wouldn't have the life that we have. It takes a combination of sunlight and rain to produce life. You know what? For our lives, it takes a combination of sunlight and rain to make who we are and develop who we become. Just like I was talking to them before service, that they don't regret because it's made them who they are. The things in their life have made them and brought them to a place of who they are, and they wouldn't be that person if the road hadn't been paved that way. So we sometimes look at negative things and think it's not part of God's plan, but maybe the negative things are part of God's plan to bring us into the fullness of his plan and for that to be realized. So even when things are bad, God is still good. When things go wrong, God is still right. When we're on the bottom, God's still on top. When we feel lowly, God's still highly. So don't be discouraged. God is faithful, and he's not ever forsaken you, and he never will. David said, I've never seen God's seed out begging for bread. I've never seen God's seed forsaken or out begging for bread. I've never seen him forsaken, and you never will. God's not going to let us go. He's holding us, or either he's carrying us, or either he's hugging us, either he's holding our hand, or he's carrying us in his arms, or he's just got himself wrapped around us like that video I played. Jesus with you in every moment. That's truly how it is. We may not can see with our visible eyes, but in every moment he was there. When I had my three children in room 232 at Davis Hospital, God was there in delivery watching them children come forth. God was there seeing that part of my life come to fruition. God was there. God is there in your morning. God is there in your night. God is there in your grief, and God is there in your joy. God is there in your daytime, and God is there when the sun goes down. God is faithful, and God is with you always because God is faithful. And David is saying, why is my soul distressed? My hope, God, is in you. When our hope is hinged on anything but God, we are disappointed. It's that simple. Because we hinge our hope. You know how many people lose all kinds of money betting on ball games, hoping their team wins, and they lose all their hopes on the Tar Heels, all their hopes on the Blue Devils, and they lost today. Hallelujah. All their hopes are on things of the world. And, yeah, I know. We won't bring that up, though. Yeah, we know, Don. Thank you. But our hope is based on things of the world, and we find out that hope is eventually shows itself. We hope in relationships apart from God, and they don't usually work. We hope in jobs apart from God, and they don't work. You know, we hope in pleasures of life apart from God, and we find out they don't work. But when our hope's anchored in Christ and Christ alone, we're never disappointed because God holds us up in the very time that we need to be held up the very most. When our anchor is in the things of God, when we're truly grounded in God's word, when that is our leading source, our leading guide, when God's our number one thing, everything else somehow just seems to fall in place. But many people are living their lives with God way down here, everything else up here, and we wonder why things are out of balance. The Bible says to have no other gods before me. Anything, and we don't like to hear this, but it's the truth, and it's for me too. Anything that we put more faith or more interest or even more time in, really, than serving God, it becomes our God or our idol. Anything that we put above God, anything that's more important than God, that's who we're truly worshiping, if it's more important than God. So we have to be very careful to realize, God says, I'm a jealous God. I want your love. If I would never spend time with Melanie, she would eventually, I don't know, leave me. She'd be lonely. If I was never spending time with her, if I was always putting everybody else first, which I have been guilty of that in the past with working and ministry, I've gotten better and try to bring more of a balance to that. Because, like I said, when she cried one day, and then you know, God spoke, it's cheaper to keep her. So I said, I better make things right. So I'll spend more time with you, baby. Okay, so when Amanda calls her problems, Amanda, you got 10 minutes, go. This is what the Lord says. Hallelujah, amen, in Jesus' name, you're delivered. Okay, baby, you ready to watch that movie? I've learned to try to balance that. But if I wasn't spending time with her and I was putting everybody else first, she would get a complex, wouldn't she? She'd start thinking, do you really love me the most? Because you're supposed to love me, the Bible says, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And I don't see that kind of love in my relationship. You're always with them or them or them or them, and then I'm on the back burner, and if you can get to me and have time, eventually you make time for me. That's kind of how we treat God. You know, I've actually talked to people. This is going to sound funny, but it's true. I've actually talked to people at church. I'll say, you come back tonight, or, you know, I hope to see you, you know, Wednesday. You know, I've had people say, I'll come back tonight. I ain't got anything else to do. They've said that. I ain't got anything else to do. Okay, thanks. So if you have something else to do, then church wouldn't even be an option, would it? And that's kind of our mentality. You know, I ain't got nothing else to do, so yeah, I'll come to church. No plans, no good ball game. It's off season. You know, wife's out of town. We ain't got to go shopping. The refrigerator's full, blah, 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 blah. So you know what? I'll come. That's our mentality sometimes, is that, you know, if it's the last resort, then yeah. And we treat God that way, not David. David knew he needed God. David longed for God. David wanted to be satisfied with something more than what the world could give him. And that's why the world's not satisfied. That's why people bounce from this to that, because they're never satisfied. I mean, they're never... If you're really thirsty, the only thing that quenches your thirst is water. I mean, really quenches your thirst. If you're really thirsty, and you pop open a Coca-Cola, it's cold, it's bubbly, it burns going down like whiskey, they say. I wouldn't know. But it burns, right? We love our cold Coca-Cola. But guess what? It doesn't quench your thirst. In fact, it takes water out of your body. Just like sweet tea. I love my sweet tea, and I could drink a gallon at a time just about. But you know what? It actually removes water out of your body. It dehydrates you, really. The only thing that truly quenches is good old, pure, non-tasting, people don't like it, good old water. There is nothing like water. I remember as a kid playing in the yard, my friends, we played football and basketball and baseball, all that. You know, we didn't have Aquavina and Deer Park and Le Bleu. You know what we had a drink? It was called, in French, a water hose. That's what we called it. And we would go and turn that faucet on, and that water come out of that water hose. I mean, my Lord, the environmentalists now would be like, you're going to die of cancer. Well, yeah. But you know what? I never got sick drinking it. And that water come out of that hose so cold. Oh, it was cold and good. It wasn't purified. It didn't go through no $55 purification system. It didn't come out of the creeks of Montana. It came out of the sewer of Statesville. And you know what? It was good. And I liked it. And we drunk that water, and I would just drink and drink and drink. Oh, I loved it. I don't have that in anything. Everything else makes you thirsty. Lemonade, tea, drinks. It maybe hit a spot, and it tastes good to your buds, and you know you enjoy it, but you're still kind of thirsty. That's how it is in the world. People get a little satisfied, a little lemonade here, a little tea here, a little Coca-Cola here, but they're still standing there thinking, I still don't really feel quenched. I don't feel right. When you're starving for lunch and you go get a candy bar, it's good. It may take away the growl, but it don't satisfy. You want a meal. You want a Little Mush biscuit or something like that, or a grilled cheese, or a slice of pizza, or a double cheeseburger. You want something real. A candy bar is okay, but it don't satisfy. I don't care what Snickers says. It don't really satisfy. You're still left kind of hungry. So when it comes to spiritual things, we need to be, let God satisfy us. The reason we're not fulfilled, Sierra, is because it's because we're filling our appetite with the wrong things. When we long for God again and His presence just to fill us, to get in your quiet place, wherever that's at, if you got one. It's hard to find one around my house. Go to a quiet place and just listen. I want to challenge you to do this. Take you just a little pad and pen. Go before the Lord. Sit down somewhere. Go somewhere. And don't say a word. Just begin to shut everything off and just listen. And watch what God will say. And start writing stuff down as He gives it to you. Just start writing it out. I know the devil will say, oh, that's just you making that up. That's your head. That's your thoughts. Well, who gives us our thoughts? God. Who gave us our head? God. How does He speak to us? He speaks to us through those desires and through those thoughts, through those imaginations. That's how one way He speaks to us. And begins to write down. It would be a surprise what you may write down, and you'll go back and read it like, wow, where did that come from? It come from God. You know, don't even read it while you're writing. Just start writing. Just as long as God's speaking, just keep writing, keep writing, just keep writing. Then you're done, go back then and reread it. And you'll be like, man, that really was in the hand of God. I can tell that was God talking to me. I've done that many times. Where I'll fill a page up of something, I just start writing, and I know it's God just speaking through me. It's a beautiful thing. Try that and do that and see if you're not more satisfied in that moment than anything else you could do, because you've heard from the One on High. You've heard from God Himself. Man, there's no voice greater than that. There's no revelation deeper than that. There's no pleasure more pleasurable than knowing your King has spoken to you and given you something for that day. He's given you a word or a revelation. You know, when we pray about things, you take it to God, let Him answer you. Wait for an answer. You know how many of us pray? We pray, and we ask God for things, but we don't wait to hear back from God. We just kind of move on instead of waiting to hear what God's got to say. See, communication is two ways, right? My wife will tell you that I'm very much that. It's two ways. You know, when I talk, she's got to listen. But when she talks, I don't have to listen. That's what she says. That's what she says. When you talk, the whole world's got to stop. But man, if I talk, So communication is two ways. And so, whenever we're talking to God, God will talk back if we'll listen to Him. Isn't that right? We listen to God. And then when God talks, we have our answer. So listen to Him. Next verse, Jeremy. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, now here's a key, I think. Whenever you're cast down, whenever you're discouraged, whenever you're depressed or down, I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill of Mizar. What do you know what David's saying? When I'm discouraged, I remember you, what you did then. I remember the God that brought me out. I remember the God that healed my body. God, I remember the time you saved me and you rescued me. And when I'm in my lowest moment of life, you showed up and brought me out of that storm. So as we begin to reflect, remember what God done in the past, it will give us strength for the present. Because God hadn't changed. And if God did it once, he'll do it twice. If God did it yesterday, he can do it today. If God did it before, he can do it after. Because God don't change. So when you get discouraged, start remembering, okay, God, I'm really down. I'm in a low point. But you know what? I remember one of the times I was a low point, and I cried out to you, and you showed up on my behalf, and you helped me, and you strengthened me, and you gave me what I needed, and my feet began to dance, and my hands began to raise, and my sackcloth came off, and the ashes went away, and I washed my face and rose up from that pit. And God, if you did it then, you can do it again, because you change not. So remember what God's done for you. Remember where he's brought you from. Remember the Red Sea that he parted in your life. Remember the chains he broke and the demons he cast away. Remember those moments and those victories where God stepped in and changed your world. He rocked your world. He shook your world. And he completely transformed your world. And he's not changed. So when you're going through it again, God can do it again. Because God's not like a genie where you get three wishes. You get as many petitions answered as you put before God that you desire. He don't run out. He don't say, you got three wishes, and then I'm out of it. Every storm we go through. You don't think God, you know, people actually told me, said that they think it's selfish to pray for yourself. That's not selfish at all. We read many stories throughout the Bible where men pray for themselves. I mean, that's what God wants, is us to call out to him. He never gets tired of hearing you. He never gets tired of hearing your plea. He never gets tired of hearing your pain. He wants you to cast that on him. He wants to hear what you got to say. He wants to remove that burden. So give it to him. You know, people ask me a lot, says, if God knows all of our thoughts, if God knows what we need, then why do we pray and ask him for those things? The Bible says he knows our thoughts, he knows our heart. Why is it important to pray? I think for two reasons. I think one reason is that God wants to hear us ask for help. I mean, don't we like people asking us for help? You know, there's nothing more to please my mom than I'm a grown man that if I went to mom and says, look, I need some help. Can you help me? Yes, I want to help you. Nothing like people wanting help. I think that's one reason. And I think the other reason is as we verbally communicate that to God of what we need, it begins to build our faith up because we're putting that before God. God, I need a miracle. I need a healing. You know, God knew Kevin had pancreatic cancer. So why do we pray for him then? What's the point? You know, I could look at Kevin when he asked for prayer. I said, well, Kevin, God knows you got cancer. He knows your thoughts, knows your heart. So, you know, he'll heal you, but we don't need to pray about it or talk about it. Just, you know, don't worry about it. He knows. He'll take care of you. He'll hook you up. Can you imagine him laying there on a surgery bed? Here's his pastor down at Baptist Hospital saying, don't worry about it. I'm going to pray for you. God will hook you up. Okay. I'm dying, ain't I? You got a different report than I got. I'm a goner, really, right? Are you saying I'm beyond prayer? But see, it builds our faith when we talk to God and I lay hands on Kevin and we agree in agreement, Lord, take this cancer away. You are the healer. You are the redeemer. And you taketh away our disease. And by your stripes, we are healed. In Jesus' name, remove this tumor, this mass, this darkness, and cast it away back in the pit of hell in Jesus' name. That's important because we are put before God. It's building our faith that we've talked to God about it. God's heard us, and it's going to be handled. Just builds our faith. So I think it's important that we go to God and we make our petition known and we talk to God, even though he knows our hearts, because it helps us. Builds both of us both ways. It builds our reliance upon God, and God wants to help us. Because the Lord said, and I believe it's in Philippians, to make your request known unto God, your supplications, your request with thanksgiving. Let them be known. So yes, God knows our thoughts. And yes, I believe in silent prayers. I believe in all kinds of prayers. I believe you can silently pray. I believe you can verbally pray. I believe you can pray on your knees, standing up, running around, pray upside down, pray to yoga class, pray bench pressing, pray on your bicycle. You can pray however you want. You can pray while eating them yeast rolls. However you want, you pray. But the key is just pray. Talk to God. See, talking to, you know what? I know some people are against this, and I'm just going to tell you my opinion. There's no right or wrong. It's just how you feel. And there are some people, especially Christian people, that are really taboo about this. And I understand, you can be so religious, you just lost your mind. I understand my grandpa's not in that graveyard. I understand that fully. He is not there at all. Just the house he lived in is there. He is not at all there. His consciousness, his life, his soul, who he is, that's not there. But you know what? It brings comfort to me to be able to go up there and just talk to him out loud. Grandpa, I miss you and I love you. And I want you to know, you know, big impact on my life and da-da-da and, you know, and I got your liver mush biscuits tonight and, you know, you didn't get them because I got them because, you know, you're not here, so grab my gun from me. So eat your heart out because I don't have liver mush in heaven because I don't believe in pork. Anyway, so I've got them. And when we talk at the graveyard, and a lot of people, especially Christians, will be like, man, that's stupid. I don't do that, man. They ain't there. It ain't about that. Get off your high religious horse. It ain't about that. It's about you be able to express yourself. Because God, I don't care who, God gave us emotion. And God gave us feeling. You know, I miss Tony Button so bad. He was a mentor in my life. And I'll go up every once in a while and just talk to him. And he, to me, he was gone way too soon. And I don't understand it. Won't ever understand it. I know God works all things out for good. I don't understand it. Don't like it. But he's there. Or, you know, he's gone. But just to go talk to the last place his body was, gives us as humans a point of contact, just to be able to communicate and talk. And though it may seem silly to some people, and though I know my grandpa's not going to speak from the grave out there, I hear you, grandson. I'd be running like crazy number one. Okay, last visit, I'll go up there. I'll just see you on the other side, grandpa. I ain't coming up here no more. It ain't like I'm going to speak from the grave, but you know what it does? It lets me release how I feel. I just feel better. You know, because, and, you know, I do believe, I mean, I don't know how all things work. I know he's a spirit. I know he transcends space and time like we know. And I believe people that we love do hear us. I believe they can hear us, understand. And I believe we can feel even their presence when we are talking to them. So I think that's important. It helps us. So when we talk to God, the same way. Yeah, God knows our hearts. And we can come every Sunday and never take a prayer request, never pray, never raise our hands. The whole time it's in our heart, just thinking good thoughts, like, you know, Billy in Twilight Zone, the cornfield, you know. He thought bad thoughts, of course. But we can just come in here and we can just think good thoughts, you know. In our mind, yeah, I love you, Lord. I ain't going to say it, but I love you. But, man, how much more effective is it for the body and for us and for God to see hands in the air, hands clapping like Grandma said this morning, feet dancing, voices singing. All that's beautiful to God's ears that he hears, just like the voice of your child, most time, is a good thing to hear. You like hearing the voice of your child. There's nothing sweeter than hearing your child, mommy, daddy. Ashley's got a little iPhone. What do you call what you got? iPod. And she can make some phone calls on it some. And she called me today at Logan's. We're sitting side by side. She called me. Stupid. But anyway, I saw it pop up and it had on there, daddy. D-A-D-D-I-E. That just made me smile. Daddy. And Christian calls me daddy still. Now, Jamie don't. He's a tough boy, you know. Father. He calls me dad a lot. But my girls call me daddy. And to know that I'm still Christian's daddy just brings a smile to my face. Well, we have a father. A daddy. Our Lord and Savior. Do you know Abba? The word Abba, if you translate, you know where it says Abba, Father? Abba translates into daddy. Which means that we have a very personal relationship with God, our Father. Such a close intimacy that our daddy, our Father, our holy God, our King, our Lord, he's so many roles in our lives, wants to do in our lives anything we desire that's good for our lives. You know, I'm not going to go out and, you know, buy a Christian a 12-pack. Here you go. Love you. Go get drunk. But when she comes to me for other needs that's good for her life, oh, I want to be there for her. Yeah, I want to help her. Our Heavenly Father wants to help us. He wants to help David. David's crying out, and he says, I'm going to remember you, God, of where you brought me from. Next verse. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. You know what David's saying? Man, waves after wave is crashing my life. I feel like I'm being consumed. You know, if you're ever on the ocean much swimming like I have, or floating or almost drowning, if you've ever been out there, there's times when you're in that surf where the waves are really going, you know, heavy, that, you know, you'll go with the wave, you know, you get the little boogie board or whatever, and you'll go with the wave, and, you know, the ground, the sand's moving, the water's flowing, you're trying to stand up and get your balance. It's kind of tough when you get my shape. And you're trying to stand up. Before you know, another wave's coming to hit you, knock you down. So you're trying to get yourself to get another wave coming to hit you. And sometimes it's hard to ever get your balance. You know, there have been times I've got mad at the waves and kicked them and hit them. Big bad wave, boy. Who won that battle? Yeah. Like, I want to stop the waves, really. But you got to get your bearing. Well, that day was saying, Lord, it's like wave after wave is consuming me. I'm just being hit on every side. When's it going to stop? You ever felt that way? Just like wave after wave, cycle after cycle, storm after storm. When's it going to end? But look what verse 8 tells us. David, even in his storms and his despair, his discouragement, says this, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. What David is saying is, in my storm, God is there. God will be faithful. Every time the sun rises, God will be faithful to see me through. Mel, we go out there and see if you can help out there. Just go out there. You'll see what I'm talking about. Thanks. God is going to not let one day pass by without him showing himself in that day. Every day, God commands his loving kindness. No matter what I'm going through, every day, he's going to show up. Every day, he's going to command his mercy. He's going to show up on my behalf no matter what I'm battling. I do know that. Every day, we have strength from God. Whether we realize it or not, he gives us strength every day to face every challenge. If we will allow his strength to become our strength. But when we try to fight it ourselves, and man, I've been there, trying to figure it out, trying to fight it, have a plan of action, even write it down, have all the stuff I'm going to do to fix it, and then all of it just goes straight south because I'm not letting God's plan work. If we really want God's plan, we got to let him draw it up. If we really want God's plan, we got to let the whole plan come together. It's like an old Western I was watching where this guy had been, he got dishonorably discharged and was put in the brig, whatever they call it. His charge was cowardness, or whatever. That's how you say that. The charge was cowardness. Coward. He's scared. And so what happened? They locked him up, and the girl said, well, that's not fair. Because here was the plan. The plan was, it was him and like a dozen soldiers were supposed to go down this hill and attack several hundred Indians. And his girlfriend said, well, that's suicide. I would have disobeyed that order too. You can't do that and risk the life of all your men. That was stupid. I would have also, you got charged with that. What the soldier didn't know was he was a decoy. That there were several hundred other soldiers on the other side of the hill he didn't know about because the orders hadn't been told to him on that end. They were going to come down the hill when he went out and charge from the other side. And so because he didn't do his part, the other army came across and there were hundreds of soldiers' lives lost that shouldn't have been lost. This soldier didn't know the whole plan. He only knew what he knew. Sometimes God shows us something, or we hear God speak, or we see what his word says, and we follow it, a little bit of it, but we don't let the whole plan come full circle because we don't see it work out the way we think God should. We extinguish the plan, cut it off. No more. Instead of letting God bring the whole plan to pass. Plans take time. Sometimes plans can be long. But if we allow God to draw it up, we allow God to lead it, and we just follow, then we'll walk into the plan God has for us. And that should be all of our desires, is for God's plan to be realized, not our own. Because our best intended plans, if they don't line up with God's plans, are not right. You know, It's a Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart, one of the greatest Christmas movies ever. I watch it every year. He had all these plans, didn't he? Traveling the world, seeing France, Italy, Europe, all that. Want to get out of that crummy town, this crummy bank. Want to get away from it. So his brother George was going to, you know, he had to go off the army, and then he come back, and then he's going, and then blah, blah, blah. Well, poor old Jimmy never got out of the town, did he? He got stuck there. The bank was the plan God had for him. The plan God had for him, I'm talking, you know, just as a type and shadow of what I'm talking about, was he was supposed to be there. He was supposed to be that pillar in that town. That leader in that town, he's supposed to do that. His plan was something different, but it wasn't God's plan. It wasn't the right plan. In the end, we see all the people coming and bringing the money, and everything was right. And he realized, I think, at that moment, after Clarence got his wings, he remembered at that moment that this is where I belong. This is who loves me. Our plan will always fail if they don't line up with God's plan. So when we pray, we need to pray, God. That's why the Bible says, you know, pray for the will of God. And that's why even Jesus says, Lord, let us cut path before me, but not my will, your will be done. Let the will of God be done. That's what's important. Go to the next verse. Give me 5 minutes. We'll get you out of here. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily to me, where is thy God? He's having a lot of struggle, a lot of doubt, but not real doubt, just he's discouraged. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. My hope's in God, because you're faithful. If I can get back to you, God, if I can just keep my eyes fixed on you, I'll be okay, because you're all that I need. If I can just keep my eyes latched on you, no matter what I'm facing, no matter what I see, if I can just keep my eyes on you, God, if I can weather the storm and just see you, I'll be fine. Though we're discouraged, be encouraged because of who lives in you. And God's not going to leave you out there abandoned or forsaken. He's not going to orphan you. He's not going to walk away out of your life. He's never going to let you down or disappoint you, because God is faithful. Look unto him as your hope, and not your situation, and not your friends, and not the world. But look unto God as your hope. We're finding in our nation more and more people looking to man for hope, for answers, for security. Without the hand of God, church, this world would spin off its axis. Without the hand of God, asteroids could blow into any minute. Without the hand of God, the world could blow up in an instant. Without the hand of God, the sun could burn out and the moon could fall down. Without the hand of God, the stars could quit shining. It's all the hand of God that keeps all that in motion and keeps it going. And if God can do all of that, God will surely take care of you tomorrow. Tomorrow's Monday, a brand new week. Start it out praising God no matter what you see. God, you're faithful. And you love me, and you're for me, not against me. I am your child, and you are my heavenly King. Praise the Lord. That's my message for tonight. I'm glad y'all came out and made your way to the house of the Lord. And is Connie not here tonight? You came without Connie. That's like a first time. That's awesome. I'm so proud of you. That's great. So used to seeing y'all all together, so that was, wow. Oh, that's great. I'm glad y'all came. I'm glad Sierra got to walk the pew. That is wonderful. I'm glad you came. That's awesome. Man, come up and get a closeout song ready for our closeout during the offering, just something. Whatever's on your heart. What? You don't need a warning. Huh? You got something, Grandma, to close that with? Where you at? Oh. You got something you want to close that with, a song tonight? What you got? What's on your heart? There's something on your heart, ain't there? A song to sing? Well, there should be. You're a Holy Ghost woman. Should be something on your heart to sing. Yeah, be picking something out. You go sing too. Oh, you come on up. We're going to, as she sings, we'll do our offering tonight. If you have an offering to give, you can come do that tonight as she sings. Go ahead and stand on your feet with us. She is wound up tonight. Father, we thank you are faithful. We thank you what your word says. We thank you that even when we're like David, we're so discouraged or distraught or we just feel abandoned, that we can remember who you really are, that you would never abandon us. It's in that moment of abandonment that we feel you the very most sometimes. In that moment of our lowliness, God, that we can so sense your presence. For every heart in here tonight, for those that are going through battles and going through storms, just Lord, wrap your arms around each of them. Just wrap your arms around them and let everyone know it's okay. I'm here. I promise you I'm here, and I'm never leaving you. I'm with you on the boat in the storm. I'm with you whatever you're going through, whatever tomorrow brings. I'm in your tomorrow. I'm going to be in your Tuesday, your Wednesday, your Thursday, your Friday, your Saturday. I'm going to be in every day and every waking and sleeping moment. I'm watching you. I'm protecting you when you don't even know I'm watching or protecting you. I'm there. Let us remind ourselves, God, of that omnipresent God that we serve, who's always there. Bless the offering tonight, Lord, for all that is given, that you get the glory and that the ministry continues to grow, God, that souls can be touched. In Jesus' name, amen. As Grandma sings, you have an offering tonight, come give at this.